This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It took 74 major championship starts and 73 holds on Sunday for Sergio Garcia to finally get his due. On Seve Ballesteros' 60th birthday, Garcia became the third Spaniard to wear the green jacket. All the years, all the heartbreak, all the sweat, blood, and tears, Sergio Garcia will no longer be known as one of the best without a major. And it wasn't without all those emotions on Sunday at Augusta. The battle between the Spaniard and the Englishman was one for the ages. Garcia came out hot with a birdie on the first hole and ended up birdieing two of the first four holes to get a two-shot advantage on 54-hole co-leader Justin Rose. But it was a roller coaster. Garcia, up three after five holes, found himself trailing by two after aiming corner. The storybook ending started on 15 when Garcia hit the flagstick and made a 14-footer for eagle, becoming the first player since fellow Spaniard Jose Maria Olazabal to make an eagle on the back nine on Sunday at the Masters. On that same hole, Justin Rose seemed to aggravate his back, but he didn't let up, making a birdie of his own and keeping it all square, where it stayed as the two teed off on the 18th hole. Both parred the last, and free golf was in store. We were all on the edge of our seats as Rose and Garcia went back to the 18th for a playoff. The world was watching, and several celebrities as well, from Steph Curry and Lil Wayne to Seve's son, Javier. After battling with a pine straw, Rose bogeyed 18 and left Sergio two putts for the victory. But he didn't need them. The 37-year-old birdied the first playoff hole for his first major victory. But he wasn't the only one with some excitement on Sunday. Matt Kuchar aced the 16th, helping to catapult him to T4 along with Masters rookie Thomas Peters. Charles Schwartzel sank a monster putt on 18 to take solo third, while the pairing of Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth both shot over par and finished T11. What a finish! What a back nine on Sunday at the Masters!
Well, that's why it's like no other. The Masters, Scott, what a contest. I mean, this is the thing about, this type of major. You get hits, you get misses, great shots, great play. And, I think everybody was celebrating with Sergio Garcia's win. It's been a long time coming. I mean, how many times has he been so close to winning? And, it just seems like the demons that have been running around in his head, maybe because he got engaged, I don't know. But, he just did well. It was a tough break, even missing that birdie on 18 in regulation. But then to come back and, Justin puts it in the pine straw, which put him in a defensive position right off the bat. And his next shot out of the pine straw wasn't all that good either. He just had to, find a way to par and put some pressure on that shot that Sergio had thrown into the green that was definitely birdieable. And as it was, I think that there was some, you could say a little bit of relief for Justin, because though that was a bad hole and one that he, had been playing fairly well all week long, not a problem, but for him to lose to a birdie, that's always a little bit better, as opposed to losing to a par, because the birdie definitely took him out of the match. But it kind of caught the edge and went in, and to the roars that only can be produced out of Augusta, Georgia. Gosh, what a great place! And I love that. I love that venue. It's absolutely gorgeous and a terrific, terrific week of golf there in Augusta, Georgia. For the Masters, congratulations to Sergio Garcia.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing now. Stop, hey, what's
well, hello, America. It's a brand new week. Good to have you along with us. For many of us, a holy week as we lead into Easter. And a time where we can pause throughout the week, and I would say that you would be blessed to do so and consider what happened. I mean, yesterday, according to the liturgical calendar, it was Palm Sunday. Jesus was entering Jerusalem to the shouts and cries of Hosanna, and here he is knowing that he was going to be lauded on that Palm Sunday. With all the Jews acknowledging him, and it was according to plan. I mean, when you consider what happened on that day, that very day, there's been people who are just so smart in breaking down the prophetic numbers, and they do this so eloquently. It is amazing when you think that Jesus had fulfilled so many prophecies. That you wonder, you go, well, how can people deny that he was the Son of God when the number of prophecies were fulfilled, and even to the point of Palm Sunday, when he would come riding in on a colt, amazing. But this is the Holy Week to know to set us up for Easter Sunday, and of course, a little bit later on, we'll be playing not today, but later on in the week. One of my favorite segments of all time, it becomes an annual event with Dr. Tony Campolo. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I know a lot of you are dealing with Fridays in your life right now. It's just what happens in life. Fridays can be rather tough when you think all is dead and there's no hope, and people all around say, it's hopeless. Why do you even think about it? Imagine what they said about Jesus after he was crucified. That it was over. You know, everything that the people had hoped for, they thought, okay, our Redeemer has come. Here is the one who is going to save us, the Jewish people, God faithful to his promise. But what they thought of salvation and what God thought of salvation, obviously very different. And that conversation and that perspective continues to this day. But all was lost. All was lost on that Friday. Even though the curtain was ripped into an earthquake, some realized, wow, this is something really special. There's something significant here. And it took a while, and it's taken a long time. I mean, here we are thousands of years later, and we're still talking about the significance of Jesus coming to earth and the tomb being empty. And it was Friday, and people thought, nah, it's hopeless. You know, we followed the wrong guy. We missed it. You know, he wasn't the one that was going to come in and just wipe out these Romans and let us rise to the rightful position that we should be. That was their perspective, not God's. God had a grander perspective that was not only to save them, but to save the Gentile nations as well. And like I said, for many of you, it may be Friday, but I want you to know Sunday's coming, and when you hear Tony Campolo once again, it is an annual event that we have on the show for him sharing that incredible story of his pastor who came up with that line. And wow, it is just so powerful, and I pray that it would be a blessing for you in this holy week, that regardless of the Friday that you're facing, the hopelessness, I want you to be encouraged to know that even thousands of years ago, it was Friday, but Sunday came, and the tomb is empty. And that is an incredible message for us to ponder in this holy week, to think about the hopeless situations that we're living under, and knowing that God is faithful. I thank you again for your participation, for your notes and your emails, bill@billmartinezlive.com. It means a lot to me that you are engaged and listening to what's going on. I mean, we do our best to bring you experts, bring you people with incredible stories, knowledgeable people. We don't want to necessarily, you know, dive into a lot of opinion, because a lot of it's out there. You've heard me say time and again, our desire is to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And why the truth is so doggone important, I believe it's one of the reasons why America finds itself in the position it's in today, where the majority of Americans feel that we're on the wrong track. We can't be on the right track if you've abandoned fact and you've abandoned truth. Millie has been, we've been going back and forth over the weekend out of Los Angeles, and she wrote to me. She goes, Bill, that, you know, she agrees that the truth is the goal here, but the truth is not relative. She battles with her college grandchildren who deal with you know, what professors would say, you know, that it's all relevant. Truth is not relevant, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, whether or not Jesus died, whether he rose from the dead, he either did or he didn't. It's not relevant. You know, we can't sit there and say, well, he kind of did. Well, he's kind of God. Really not. He is or he isn't. He either is what he said he is or he's not. And in that statement is the truth. And in that statement is the opposite, which is a lie. And for so long in our culture, you know, we don't want to call it for what it is. I mean, it's interesting. Politically, it seems that the L word is thrown out there a little bit more often than it has been. At least when I was growing up, I would be very reticent to call somebody, you know, to say something was a lie, much less to call someone a liar. And, you know, calling someone a liar is an indictment on their very character and who they are. But that's what liars do. They lie. But for the sake of trying to play it safe, politically correctness, find a way to get along, you know, kind of like the Rodney King philosophy of life. Why can't we all get along? I think I shared with you many years ago when I asked that question. I said, God, you know, that's a good point. Why can't we all get along? He says, because life and death, good and evil, truth and lies, impossible. They can't get along. They can't cohabitate. And this is what we've tried to do in this country. We've tried to force a round peg into a square hole. And we think that moral equivalency is the order of the day, that we're somehow making it safe for people, but actually it's much more dangerous. Look at what's happened in our country. Look what's happening around the world, all in the name of moral equivalency. It's not as bad as, you know, that is man's opinion. It's not the fact. It's not the truth. It's not consistent with what we know empirically, with what the truth is. And I believe the evidence is clear. As clear as it is that Jesus died and the tomb is empty. It is that clear. But if we want to convince ourselves and fool ourselves into some kind of moral equivalency, then you have what we have today. And along with that, as we've untethered ourselves from the truth, we become confused. Where you've heard that analogy, I've said time and again, it's like that hot air balloon, or that balloon loaded up with hot air that is suddenly punctured, and because it's untethered, it goes all over the place. And even when it's not punctured, whatever winds blow, it takes it to the left, it takes it to the right, it's up, it's down. Boy, I'll tell you, is that not America today? Because we are unhinged from our moral anchorings, and we pay a big cost for it, and we think, okay, for the sake of getting along and not to offend anybody, it's all good because of moral equivalency. But look at the price we pay. Look at the people that are dying around the world in the name of moral equivalency. But are we going to take a stand for the truth, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to fight for that. I say welcome if you are committed to this good fight that we are committed to here on this show. And I thank you for participating. Millie, thank you for your email. I appreciate it. This is Bill Martinez.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and six other products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You met with the president of China along with the president there in Florida. What message did the Chinese take from the U.S. action in Syria?
Well, the president, I think, very thoughtfully and rightfully did notify President Xi Jinping at the end of the dinner on the evening of the attack. I think out of respect to President Xi, he wanted to explain to him the rationale for the U.S. action, why it was taken, and why he felt it was necessary. My understanding, I was not standing nearby, but my understanding is that President Xi said, well, no one should kill children. The Chinese have since issued their own statement on the attack itself.
The president also said about North Korea, if China doesn't act, then in North Korea, then we will. Did the Chinese get that message from this meeting over the weekend?
I can tell you that both the presidents had extensive discussions around the dangerous situation in North Korea. They had a very lengthy exchange on the subject yesterday morning. I think it was a very useful and productive exchange. President Xi clearly understands and I think agrees that the situation has intensified and has reached a certain level of threat that action has to be taken. And indeed, the Chinese even themselves have said that they do not believe the conditions are right today to engage in discussions with the government in Pyongyang. And so what I think we're hopeful is that we can work together with the Chinese to change the conditions in the minds of the DPRK leadership. And then at that point, perhaps discussions may be useful. But I think there's a shared view and no disagreement as to how dangerous the situation has become. And I think even China is beginning to recognize that this presents a threat to even to China's interest as well.
Well, I got to tell you, it is, you know, you listen to Secretary Tillerson speak, and he is impressive. I mean, here is a guy who comes away, walks away from millions of dollars to serve the country, dare I say even billions of dollars. He's serving us, and it's just so impressive to hear his demeanor, Scott. You know, the way he comes across in measured tones, and, you know, the media would love to look for a headline here to try to, you know, see where Tillerson reacted in some sort of emotional way, but he's very measured about the conversation between the two presidents here. And I got to believe the Chinese had to, you know, get the message that that here it is that, you know, we got a dangerous situation with North Korea, with Kim Jong-un and the Chinese. And I'm sure President Trump had a way to express this rather diplomatically to the Chinese president that he needs to reel him in. Otherwise, things are going to get out of control. But I was glad to hear that the Chinese president said, look at, you know, they don't support the killing of children either. And this is what's been happening. I mean, it's kind of amazing here. Don't you think that the rhetoric after Donald Trump makes the move to do something that for two administrations really kind of allowed this to exacerbate and develop, where you have the gassing of people taking place there in Syria, and the president acted quickly, he acted definitely and precisely. And, you know, and as they said from day one, of course, this is kind of lost in the media because, you know, you can't, you know, the president's getting too much positive spin off of this. You know, international support, you got international leaders saying, thank God America is back, you know, in so many words. And the media's got to somehow pull that back and say, well, but what's the next step? Well, the next step, like in any altercation like this, is dependent on what the other person does. Of course, Russia moves some Navy ships in to kind of act like they're supporting Assad. Assad's got to say what he has to say because he's not happy. And so what does he do is he flies some planes out of the airfield that supposedly was destroyed, but not as completely as they thought, if you're still flying planes out of there. So all this is, you know, it's all posturing, but Assad may find himself out there all by himself because there's only so far, now that the question is being called, how far does Russia want to go here? How far does Putin want to take his country into this? Because what's happened in one very short response by President Trump, Putin's footprint, I don't know if you noticed this, but it got downsized pretty quickly, didn't it? The footprint in the Middle East is what I'm talking about. And he's probably thinking, okay, how much of a game of chicken do I want to play here with this guy? Because he made the first move. It's not that Putin made the first move. Donald Trump made the first move. Well, and militarily, that says something. Go ahead.
Well, it also, Syria is kind of Russia's North Korea on this. Because, does China really want to be fighting a war for North Korea? Because that's what's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
Does Russia really want to be the one fighting a war for Syria? Because that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be the Syrian that's fighting, and it's not going to be North Korea that's fighting. They're going to be a very minimal thing. It's going to be us fighting Russia and China.
Yeah.
On those fronts.
Over a country like Syria, for example, that's probably three quarters at least decimated right now. I mean, it's a wonder. You know, like I said the other day, last week we talked about it. You see the footage of Syria and you go, wow. I mean, what is left here?
Well, for Putin, it's over a guy who all signs point to chemically bombed his people. After all this time to where things were fine, and if he never did that, things would have been much better for Assad. But signs point to that he chose to use chemical weapons.
Now, let me ask a question, because this isn't coming out in the mainstream media, okay? Several years ago, it was pointed out. Remember those the gases, the weapons of mass destruction that we look for in Iraq? And, of course, we gave them plenty of time. Hey, we're coming after those weapons of mass destruction. I mean, we're such idiots. And I love – this is what I love about Trump. You know, the media will say, well, what kind of troop love? What are you doing? I'm not talking. You know, I'm not revealing my cards here. Just like he didn't tell them that we were going to be bombing the Syrian airport. He just does it. I mean, the old-fashioned way, where you keep your cards close to your chest, you don't tell people.
Which is how it should be.
Right. But we go and we tell Saddam Hussein, hey, we're coming to get your weapons of mass destruction. Now, there's a big conversation. Congress is beating their chest. Everybody's talking about it. It went on and on, if you remember. And, of course, you know, Saddam Hussein says, I think they're going to come after our weapons of mass destruction. Do you think we ought to hide these things? Do you think we ought to get them out of Dodge here?
Well, can we move these?
Yeah, what do you think? You know, common sense, right? We might want to believe. They don't believe us, but maybe we ought to believe what they say. So they move this stuff, and, of course, everybody's embarrassed. Colin Powell and, you know, the international community all said, yeah, they had weapons of mass destruction, but somehow the international community couldn't get their acts together to figure out that the stuff was being moved. And, of course, years later, they go, oh, my goodness, here's all this stuff. It's in Syria. And, you know, imagine that. But the media doesn't want to talk about that because then that would justify Bush. It would have justified, you know, the attack in Iraq, the war in Iraq, all this. It's just insane. It's like, wait a minute, this is part and parcel of this incredible mess that we're into today. And now you have Assad with these weapons of mass destruction killing his own people. And unlike what was suggested previously, and I'm still trying to really get to the truth of the matter and have a definite answer, maybe Ryan Morrow will have that for us, is, you know, pertains to, was it, you know, the Syrian rebels themselves in order to cause the problems? But then you go, well, how did the Syrian rebels get their hands on this Syrian gas, on this gas? You know, how did they do that? I didn't. Anyway, they've used it. And unfortunately, you know, the media is not going to give you the truth. But we're going to continue to pursue it no matter where it leads. And the conversation will continue. This is Bill Martinez. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you. And nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, I think we're a little late. I think it's already hit the oscillation, as they say. So now what are we going to do about it? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Ryan Morrow, as I had mentioned, is with us right now. National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project, a nonprofit organization that educates the public about the threat of Islamic extremism, provides a platform for voices of moderation and tolerance within the Muslim community. Ryan also consults for various government agencies, political campaigns, and policymakers, and a professor of Homeland Security, Counterterrorism, and Political Science. Ryan, you need a job, man. You're just not busy enough, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, perfect timing that you come on right now, because we were talking about something that I believe has just been so grossly underreported, especially as it relates to sarin gas and what's been going on in Syria. Years ago, you know, as we know, what brought us into Iraq was that there were reports of weapons of mass destruction. And beyond reports, I mean, we had clear evidence. The Kurds have been gassed. Thousands of people dead. So Saddam Hussein utilized weapons of mass destruction. The international community, in much the same way as they did with Assad, wanted to sit there and debate the issue. Meanwhile, people are dying. But, you know, hey, we got to at least posture and act like we have some sense of conscience about this. And so in this discussion that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, Democrats, everybody's biting, they're twisting themselves in knots over this whole deal. Saddam Hussein says, hey, we better get rid of this stuff. Let's see what we can do and hide it and get it out of here. Even after Colin Powell is saying, hey, as a matter of fact, they did have weapons of mass destruction. So they go in there and said, hey, we didn't find anything. International community, Colin Powell, everybody lose credibility. The media jumps all over it, the whole deal. God forbid that anybody would suggest or even think for a moment that maybe Saddam is not as dumb as they thought he was, that he moved the stuff out of Dodge. Well, then here it is a couple of years ago. You probably know the dates certainly better than I do, but at least a couple of years ago, they discover the sarin gas that belonged to Saddam Hussein in Syria. Now, the media just went all over. I mean, they just bent over backwards and twisted themselves in all kinds of pretzel logic in order to kind of mention it, but it was talk about something was below the fold. I mean, it was down there by the obituaries that there was this admission that sarin gas that belonged to Saddam Hussein, the weapons of mass destruction we were originally looking for, is now found in Syria. So help me out with this, Ryan. Where are we with this?
Well, we don't know if these are Saddam's WMDs that were used in Syria, particularly because a lot of these weapons will go bad after a certain amount of years, although there may be ways to extend the life, like sarin gas is supposed to only be good for 5 years, but I know countries have stockpiles, so maybe there's a way to extend it. But regardless of whether it's Saddam's or not, we know Iraqi scientists did go to Syria. There was a lot of circumstantial evidence at the time that Iraqi WMD went to Syria as well. I was personally expecting there to be more evidence found of that transfer years after Saddam fell, which is why I haven't highlighted that argument as much as I used to back then. Mm-hmm. But the indications were at the time, and it still may be the case, that the Russians actually had forces in Iraq that were destroying WMD and transferring it to Syria and possibly Lebanon. There was actually a plan going back to the Soviet Union called Operation Sarandar, which means emergency exit, where if one of their rogue state allies was about to be attacked by the United States and its allies, then the Russians would cleanse the place so that they couldn't be blamed for their role in it, and their ally would look innocent, and then they could flip it around on the United States. So I wouldn't put it past the Russians to be doing that right now, trying to eliminate traces of WMD in Syria while still retaining the capacity to use them. In fact, it's been reported that Russia participated not just in the chemical weapons attack itself, but in the bombing of a hospital right afterwards in order to eliminate some of those traces.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is that's a bit ironic here, is back in 2013, Russia signed an agreement saying that they would oversee and make sure that Syria was cleansed of sarin gas. They didn't do a very good job, did they?
No, we don't know if these are weapons that Assad hid. I think they probably are, because there's been so many incidents of Assad using chemical weapons in recent years that I think it's just part of stockpiles that they hid, and there are defectors saying they're hiding stuff. Or it's possible they produce more. It doesn't really matter. And in terms of the Iraq analogy, one of the things that amazes me is how little attention people paid to the stuff that we did find in Iraq after Saddam fell, and especially how the threat is not really changed much by whether you have stockpiles or the capability to quickly produce them. So, okay, let's just say that there were no stockpiles of WMD in Iraq. But we found the facilities to produce biological weapons in like 2 to 4 weeks on a major scale. Well, I don't see the substantive difference between there. I don't even see that as too major of an intelligence failure. It's bad, but it's not like there was no WMD threat at all. In fact, Saddam did what I would have done if I was an evil dictator, I think. I mean, why have all these stockpiles all around with the risk and everything else, eliminate them, and then just have the facilities and build them as you need them.
Yeah, but how do you forget that he already gassed the Kurds? Thousands of Kurds are dead that he exterminated. I mean, that's all part of his legacy, but somehow, for the sake of politics, that is extinguished in the conversation?
Well, he has a pattern of using them, which is why when there was activity at the WMD facilities, it sure as heck looked like he was rebuilding those capacities. That's what you have to assume he was doing. The argument, just to be fair, was that after he gassed the Kurds and after the Gulf War, because the gassing of the Kurds happened before that, is when the disarmament happened, that the UN came in, he declared his stockpiles, they destroyed a lot of them. He then later admitted to having a certain amount that he did not declare to the UN. We assumed he still had them. He said that he personally destroyed them. And so what critics are saying is that, yes, for some reason he lied about the WMD he had. He hid some, but then he destroyed them on his own later and could provide no proof of it. So you can't blame anyone for looking at that situation in the intelligence community and saying, well, obviously he has them because he said he had them, and he can't give you any proof he destroyed them.
Right. Well, Ryan, you know, for you as a security analyst, as you break this down, you're apolitical. We're not talking, but you're just talking about, you know, military advantage. And
right.
You're looking at the real world here. What I am challenging is the narrative within our own country and maybe even in parts of the international community that have decided to get involved and taint this politically. And when they do so, it gives all kinds of space and navigation for these bad players, don't you think?
I think so. When you bend over backwards, demanding an unreasonable level of proof in order to indict an enemy of the United States, you're playing right into their hands. And that's because their scheming nowadays is based in the idea that we can, as intelligence analysts, as people who study this, as news junkies even, know when they did something, but they can do it in such a way that it denies us the proof necessary to convince our public that they did it, enough to convince skeptical publics around the world that they did it, and especially in the court of law, in the international community. That's partially why Iran does things like back Sunni terrorists. Iran is a radical Shiite state. We believe that they wouldn't back Sunni terrorists. So then they back Sunni terrorists because then they can get away with it.
Exactly. Yeah, you get all these, these players that they support come in through the back door, and they have plausible deniability. Don't you love this?
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. It's amazing how whenever an enemy of the United States does something, there's this chorus of people that just want to make it sound as if we're the bad guys, and, oh, we're picking on the little guy that's so innocent.
Well, and what lies in their wake are millions of people dead from weapons of mass destruction. This is Bill Martinez. Our conversation continues with Ryan Morrow, National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project. Stay with us, America. We're coming at 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, that's the ultimate calling that we have is freedom, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you, so often it causes me to cringe when I think that we're so casual about understanding just how precious freedom is. And you consider all the people historically that have fought for our freedoms here in America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Ryan Morrow, the National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project, is with us. He consults various government agencies, political campaigns, and policy makers. Professor of Homeland Security, of Counterterrorism, and Political Science. Ryan, the big question today is, did North Korea and China get any associated message that we all hoped they would get from this attack on the airbase in Syria?
Oh, they have to. How couldn't they? I mean, this airstrike or cruise missile strike on the Syrian airbase just hits all the right points because it was done so humanely, so professionally, to the point where we wanted to minimize casualties among the Russians as well as Assad's forces. Mm-hmm. So without coming off like warmongers or coming off like we're picking a fight, it showed that we're willing to take quick, decisive action. And I think the world has grown accustomed to the annoying, delayed American political process where every single thing becomes a debate. Nothing is done quickly. And that's the way it's been for as long as I can personally remember it. Exactly. So to see Trump react so quickly and so decisively was just so refreshing. I was just cheering about it. Uh-huh. And for North Korea, they have to realize that this is what Trump did over a chemical weapons attack that killed about 90 people. The death toll isn't that high as far as massacres go. Well, North Korea has concentration camps with 80 to 120,000 people, and the rhetoric of Trump towards North Korea has been far harsher for far longer than it has been about Syria. Mm-hmm. So North Korea is going to notice all of that, and so they should be concerned about the U.S. aircraft carrier that just turned around as it headed to Australia and is now headed to the Korean Peninsula.
Exactly. Well, interesting that President Xi, while he was at Mar-a-Lago, his response was that he doesn't agree with governments that kill children. Okay, well, square up that round peg in a square hole with North Korea.
North Korea is probably the second most evil government on Earth. Right now I would say it's Assad, but that's only because North Korea hasn't felt it necessary to massacre its own people because it's got so many people starving and in prison camps. But North Korea is a different beast. I am more nervous about the potential for Trump to strike them than Assad because North Korea is crazy. They announced the discovery of a layer of unicorns. I mean, you're talking about a completely different level of irrationality. as well as their capabilities are bigger. So this has the potential to really spiral out of control. I'm not saying I would necessarily oppose doing something militarily, depending on what that option was. But I'm hoping that this is to send a signal, and all of this is the equivalent of striking an airbase in Syria, even if it's not actually taking action, that it has the same objective and the same impact.
Orion, I want to rewind just a little bit here, and this has to do with the basis of any kind of relationship. You got to know who you trust. I mean, we're talking about people that are untrustworthy, particularly between Russia and Syria. Syria made their moves. If, in fact, Russia was not aware of any kind of hidden cache of sarin gas, that makes makes Russia look, as Secretary Tillerson said, absolutely incompetent or fooled by the Assad regime. And on the other hand, if you have Russia that knew in advance that this airfield was going to be bombed. So, to add to that idea that it was a strategic maneuver, quick and strategic, Donald Trump did give the Putin administration, the military, through the back channels, warning that we were going to go. And I guess to minimize any collateral damage that the Russians might sustain. So that could go back on Russia if they didn't say something to Assad in terms of creating some skepticism and some mistrust between those two entities.
Maybe. One of the interesting things is that the Russian air defense system, the S-300, a very expensive and relatively advanced air defense system, is installed along the western coast of Syria, and that's where Russia has a military base. Interestingly enough, that thing did not go off. That system was not activated when we started launching cruise missiles. So that raises the question of, did we disable that system through a cyber attack or something, or somehow beat it, or did the Russians stand down? I mean, we called them 90 minutes in advance. We gave them an opportunity to get their folks out. Assad got a lot of his personnel out. Because we were trying to destroy fixed targets, equipment. We didn't want to kill actual people at this point. So I think Assad, if he doesn't believe that that air defense system that the Russians have there was overcome, then he's going to feel betrayed by the Russians. And that could be an angle to this story that is being missed by the media and could have really positive repercussions for the United States.
Exactly. Well, now back to North Korea. Of course, they're telling everybody, you see, this is why we need to have our nukes ready, because of what the United States did to Syria.
Well, they've always been saying that. And they're going to try to justify their nuclear program regardless of anything that we do. The bottom line is that they're a small country and they're a dictatorship that's crazy and likes power, and that's going to be the driving force. The U.S. has no ambition to get into even a conventional war with North Korea, which would be just so bloody. There was a simulation done some years ago. I want to say it might have been even like 10 years ago, but I remember that there was a simulation done that estimated that there could be something like 30 to 40,000 American casualties if there was a full-blown war between North Korea and South Korea. They have 12,000 artillery pieces lined up along the border that could just pound the capital of South Korea and destroy it in the matter of hours. So this is a tough situation, but I like that Trump is trying something different, because a lot of the past presidents since the 90s have looked at that and said, all right, well, North Korea is a little crazy. They like this back and forth, the showmanship, and we don't know what they're going to do, so let's try to bribe them or sanction them, but the rhetoric is not going to be confrontational.
Right.
This is the first time that the U.S. has seriously said, hey, we might bomb you. The White House said that the clock has run out on the North Korean nuclear program.
Yeah,
that's
enough,
the first time
there's been
we've
enough
used
talk.
Language like that.
Yeah, enough talk. We're not talking about this anymore, is what Tillerson said. And so that was a serious statement to your point here. And so what's next here? I mean, like you said, you understand their military force. Okay, so we have that built-up force right there on the border that could, blow South Korea, to kingdom come. What about their ground troops? Well over a million men?
Yep, they have 1.1 million. They have a lot of special forces, more special forces than we have. I know it's in the hundreds of thousands. And these special forces train in how to carry out sabotage. The three options that have been presented to Trump, according to the leaks, and I think they were strategic leaks that were meant to be read by North Korea, but the one option was to put nuclear weapons in South Korea. I see no point to that, but that's an option. The second is to carry out sabotage with South Korean, presumably also the Japanese, special forces, blow up their infrastructure, wage a covert war against them. And then the third option, and this is why I think it was a strategic leak, was to just kill the leader and to kill the top officials.
Right.
I mean, that's the first time, definitely, I've heard a plan like that.
Well, the first time since the movie, right? First time since the movie.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it seems like a Trump-Bannon move, doesn't it? It's like, hey, let's just talk about this and put it in the media.
Right, right. Yeah, let's give him a bone to chew on, and then along with it, we'll send Dennis Rodman with the information.
Yeah, I mean, this is foreign policy trolling, essentially, because we all say, all right, well, the North Korean dictator only cares about himself, and no one really wants to say it, even the pundits on TV, but we all know that, you know, a threat to kill the guy, to kill Kim Jong-un and those around him, is what's going to make them think twice. Now, it's technically illegal, but in 2002, President Bush was able to waive that because it's illegal by executive order and say, hey, we're going to try to kill Saddam. Mm-hmm. So it's illegal. It's frowned upon internationally, but we've tried to do it before. It's just out of the norm. And if Trump's anything, it's out of the norm.
Would the people in North Korea that have been under these years, decades of oppression, would they, like Saddam Hussein or even Gaddafi, go up against him? Would they have the courage to kill their own leader?
For the first time in recent years, there have actually been protests inside North Korea. And then the security forces came in, arrested some people, there was a fight. And then it spread, and it was over some issue in the market, and it was shortly after the Arab Spring happened, so I guess 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that's ever happened. We know that somewhere around half, I think it's more than half now, of the population are receiving foreign broadcasts. They're getting access to Western media on the black market with burned DVDs. Now, we don't know how much that information's sinking in. You're talking about a regime that's been isolated and brainwashed its population for so long. But the fact that they're taking the effort to listen to foreign media tells us that they know something is wrong in their country, that they're not being told the truth. But there's just no way to know the extent of their knowledge that they're being lied to at this point.
And do they have the courage to take the next step? We'll have to see. Time will only tell. Ryan Mora, National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project. Ryan, always good to have your perspective. Thank you so much.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's called